Our next story is about the conversations that surgeons and patients have before an operation. Traditionally, surgeons have wanted to know whether any health problems may pose a risk to patient safety during the procedure. But a new study may encourage surgeons to spend a few extra moments asking, "How's your quality of life?" Dr. Julianne Bingener of the Mayo Clinic joined us to tell us more. Dr. Bingener, welcome to Sound Medicine. It is good to have you on our program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So your new study found that people's quality of life before colon cancer surgery might affect their odds of complications shortly after the surgery. How did you measure their quality of life before the surgery?
So that's a very interesting question. The data actually comes from a study that was done 20 years ago when surgeons wanted to find out if colon cancer surgery done laparoscopically was just as good as open colon cancer surgery. And they measured quality of life as one of the pieces to see if patients did better with laparoscopy than with open surgery. So they used three different tools. One of them was a suggested question, what is your quality of life? 1 to 100. And then they used another symptom index and a third tool. All of those tools had been tested before. All of those tools were known to be reliable tools to measure quality of life. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly enough, the simple question, what is your quality of life? Give us a number, 1 to 100. If you were scoring on less on that tool less than 50, you had a higher likelihood of having a serious early complication after surgery.
Why do you think that having a poorer quality of life before the surgery would mean, physical complications mm-hmm. afterwards?
Right. And I don't know exactly why that is. The reason I started asking that question is because colleagues of mine had looked at different data sets to see if the quality of life was correlated with survival. And they had found that for colon cancer, for pancreas cancer, and for lung cancer, poor quality of life, so quality of life deficits, meant patients were less likely to survive long term. And so we think that complications may be similar to survival in that one of the things is, okay, how was the operation? What other medical problems do you have? But there also seems to be a patient factor that is how fit are you? How much do you want this? How much oomph is there behind the patient? And many physicians know when they see somebody with a given diagnosis, colon cancer, they have a similar age group, similar other diseases, and one patient, they shake their hand, they think they're going to do well, and the next patient, they shake their hand and think, what is missing? And so quality of life, I think, is one of the tools how we could measure these so hard to describe other things.
Mm-hmm. Because I would think that if someone is very sick and mm-hmm. very weak, they would mm-hmm. be at risk for complications. But it doesn't sound like you're saying, I think that would probably be true, but you're saying there's something a little bit more to it than just that, if you're feeling
you're
pretty
exactly right. So age and other comorbidities were huge factors in that. And I'm not saying that somebody who's 25 years old and has poor quality of life and undergoes surgery will have worse outcomes than somebody who's 80 years old and has good quality of life. But if you had, for example, two patients, both 75 years old, both had, let's say, a heart attack in their 50s, and now they have colon cancer. I wonder if the one with a good quality of life is going to do better than the one who has a deficit in their quality of life.
So before surgery, how do surgeons and anesthesiologists assess how well they think the patient will do during surgery and afterwards? I like that handshake example, but what do you assess? How well you think they're going to do?
So very often we assess how well the heart works and how well the lungs work. And there is a pretty good algorithms that our anesthesia colleagues and we follow. So we ask patients how far they can walk, or if you put them on a treadmill, there are certain limits that they should meet in order to say you're okay for surgery. But that's just the heart. And then others can assess the lung. But there are more things to a person. There's something about the muscle tone, the nutritional status, and all of those things. And I think people feel well or don't feel well, and they have a reason to pull through or don't have a reason to pull through, those are very poorly quantified things, and we don't measure them. We have not measured them a lot for preoperative preparation so far. We know that it's important for cancer treatment, quality of life. We all want patients who get treated to have the best possible quality of life while they get treated. But using it as a predictor is something of a new thought process.
I'm speaking with Dr. Julianne Bingener of the Mayo Clinic about how people's quality of life may affect how well they do after a surgery. And what steps might primary care doctors, family members, or anybody else take to improve a person's quality of life before surgery?
And that is a very good question, because quality of life contains many different things. It could be physical quality of life. It could be mental, emotional, spiritual. There could be financial obstacles to a patient's good quality of life. And so for each patient, that is very different. We know fatigue is something that affects many people and gives them poor quality of life. So for one person, maybe that they have to have a different sleep rhythm. Other people may need to exercise more. A third person may need help with a social worker to get a hold of their financial problems.
Would it affect having the surgery? I mean, if somebody needs surgery, even if their quality of life is poor, is the risk of complications so great that you would make a decision not to have the surgery?
I'm not sure that we're using it like that
okay.
at the moment. However, one of the things that we're working on, or many people are working on, are certain pathways after surgery. So you would say, this is usually what we do for a patient who comes in to have a colon cancer surgery. This is the anesthesia they get. This is when they get are being fed again. This is when we expect them to leave. And so maybe somebody who is at higher risk for complications, they maybe need more nursing attention. Maybe they need more respiratory attention. Maybe they need more attention. Maybe they need to stay a day longer, or maybe they need to have different kinds of support. Maybe they need depression screening or something like that to pull through with a difficult treatment. I'm not saying we should use it to exclude people from surgery. I think we should use it as, maybe here is a person who needs something additional or different from what we usually do.
Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about complications after colon cancer surgery, what are those common complications that these people might have?
Right, and so there's two bigger groups, I would say. There's one of them are the surgical complications, so bleeding or an infection or a leak from the colon cancer surgeon. And the other ones are what we may call medical complications, where somebody has a heart attack or pneumonia, or they get a blood clot that travels to their lungs.
And when we say shortly after surgery, what's the time frame on that?
So all of these complications occurred before the patient left the hospital. Now, in 1994, that was a little longer than what it is now, but so within the first 2 weeks after surgery, I would say.
So can a busy surgeon quickly get a sense of a patient's quality of life before surgery? I mean, what questions might you ask?
Right, and that's... So there are a lot of tools to find out quality of life, and there's, questionnaires with 36 questions and 49 questions, and nobody has time to fill them out, not the patient and not the physicians. So more recently, people have worked on very short tools. There are some tools that work just like the pain scale, from 1 to 10, tell me what's your quality of life. Our oncologists actually ask every patient now 3 questions when they come in the clinic, whenever they are seen. What is your quality of life, 1 to 10? What is your pain, 1 to 10? And how tired are you, 1 to 10? And that doesn't take very long.
Yeah. And what might surgeons do with this information if it's available before the operation?
I don't think the surgeons will necessarily be the ones to fix the quality of life. But they may then understand, something is amiss here. Let me call the referring physician and discuss. Let me ask the patient if there's something they are knowing that is wrong, but they haven't discussed with anybody. One of my colleagues says, sometimes things like erectile dysfunction is something that weighs heavily on a patient after a pelvic surgery or something like that. It's not being talked about because it's kind of an uneasy topic. So maybe these questionnaires help us dig a little bit, get to the topic, and then maybe there's an easy fix for it.
Thank you so much for talking with me. It's been fascinating.
Thank you so much for having us.
Dr. Julianne Binginer is a professor of surgery at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota.